Oh, yes. Well, I'm not here to make an advert for Chris Holmes and his courses this coming semester, although no doubt he'd be glad to see you sat there. But I want to begin with a brief illustration of what I mean, or try and point towards it. And it's a story that is to do with a university and a friend who was a lecturer at Oxford in English literature. And he had a huge problem. And he said his problem was quite simply this, that the students who were coming to him nowadays did not know the scriptures. And because they didn't know the scriptures, they hadn't got access, really, to these novels, or this English literature that they were reading. Because it was written by people whose world was, if not immersed in, but thoroughly conversant with the scriptures. And he almost said he needed to say, well, before you can do this, you have to go away and read the Bible. And when you've read the Bible, then you can begin to read English literature. Well, we might thought, well, how ridiculous is that? But actually, it kind of illustrates that simple truth. There was so much in there in the imagery that you wouldn't understand unless you knew the scriptures. Well, that simple point underlines a more fundamental point, that quite simply this, that in order to understand anything, we have first to become theologians. In other words, what I mean is that we must recognize that everything we encounter and everything that we are is actually from God. It is a part of God's creation. And God has not kind of just abandoned it and set it spinning in the depths of infinite space, but God participates in it. And God is in all and through all and above all. And he is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And so if we are ignorant about God, then we're going to be ignorant about everything else. Because he is, if you like, the presupposition for everything else. He is the one who reveals its very truth. Now, we come, of course, to the revealing of that truth today. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany. So how does God reveal this truth in and amongst us? And it's in the person of Jesus. So we might say quite simply that to become a theologian is to come to know Jesus. And in knowing him, to begin to know the truth about everything else. It's not as though we can kind of, as universities do nowadays, put theology in a little box and say, there we are, we'll keep that safe over there, and we'll do English literature over here, and we'll do science here. No, no, everything is woven together, and it's woven together in the person of Jesus. And so to know Jesus Christ is the beginning of knowing the truth about everything, about beginning to know the truth even about yourself. What does St. Paul say? That your life is hidden with Christ and God. If you're going to discover the truth even about yourself, you need first to know Jesus Christ. And so this is in part what I mean when I say we need to learn to become theologians. And so we hear that revelation, that manifestation of this truth for us. You know, we Gentiles, we latecomers to the story today on the Feast of the Epiphany. And the Magi are rather like these people who are learning to become theologians. They've got some of it. You see, the Magi come to Jerusalem, and immediately we're in this language that I use a lot of the time about revealing the deep truths of things. You see? And so our passage starts now. Jesus, having been born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod was king. Behold! Magi arrived in Jerusalem from the east, saying, where is the newborn king of the Judeans? For we have seen his star at its rising, and we have come to worship him. We're in that language of, look, see what is happening. Perceive the deep truth of it. You see? And Matthew is flagging it up. And of course we have this beautiful passage from Isaiah about all the people flocking to Israel's God and bringing the wealth of the nations And so Matthew wakes us up to this. He goes, behold! There's such an important word. Behold, see the truth of this. This is coming to pass. Behold, Magi, come to Jerusalem. He calls us into this. Come, be theologians. Pay attention to what God is doing. Pay attention to what God is doing. Now, Herod, of course, hasn't got a clue about what God is doing. He's not remotely interested in what God is doing. He's, as it were, just manipulating the levers of power and trying to stay in control, because if there's a new king around, that's going to destabilize things. What will the Romans do? And what will happen to his position, etc., etc.? So it says he's disturbed. He's troubled by this. And in fact, the whole of Jerusalem is troubled by it. There's much we could say about that that will come to pass later in the story of Jesus, where the judgment against Jerusalem is revealed in the cross. And so all of this is coming to pass. Behold, pay attention. Well, to behold is, I think this is the best way of putting it that I found, is to see with the eye of the heart, to perceive the deep truth that lies behind the surface appearance of things, to pay attention and to ask these questions. And so Herod asks, what's going on? And the scribes and the teachers of the law say, oh, well, this is what the scriptures say, that the new Messiah, the Messiah, will be born in Bethlehem. To you, Bethlehem of Judah, from you will come one who will shepherd God's people. Yet here are these foreigners. So even the prophet hasn't got the full story. You see, here have come these foreigners. They're being drawn into the story of God's people as we're being drawn in. We're encouraged to see this happening. Well, what's going on there? What's going on? Why was no one keeping an eye on Bethlehem? They hadn't been paying attention. Unlike the Magi. Somehow they know that this new star speaks of a new king in Judea. How do they know? I don't know. But what do? They're paying attention to what is in front of them, to the things that they are seeing happening. And how much we need to do that in our day. How much our eyes are distracted from what's happening right in front of us. We're so busy watching the news of things far away that we can't even see what's happening right in front of our nose end. And so they pay attention. They're watching for signs of something happening in the heavens. So our first step as a theologian is to pay attention, to be watching. But for what? But they don't know. But they do know this, that they have come to worship. They have come to worship. We've come to pay him homage, to bow down before him. This is what we have come to do. There's nothing more fundamental to our human existence than this act of worship. G.K. Chesterton famously says that when people stop believing in God, it's not that they believe in nothing, it's that they will believe in anything. How true of that is of worship? When we stop worshipping the one true God, as the scriptures have always said, we fall to idolatry. We'll worship anything and everything. Of course, eventually, having disconnected ourselves from everything else, we're just left with the worship of ourselves, which always seems a rather futile gesture, to be perfectly honest. Are you going to bow down before yourself? You see, we're created by God. His life comes from us. His life comes to us from him. And the most fundamental thing that we can do is offer praise and thanksgiving and worship. This is most fundamentally what it means to be human. And it's fundamentally what it means to be a theologian. To recognize that all we have and everything we're surrounded by is the gift of God. And to be caught up in offering praise and worship and thanksgiving. And to pray. Now, you might have thought when I said learning to be theologians, I was going to say, well, none of you are theologians yet, but no, you are. You've been theologians from the moment you started to pray. Because why would we pray except in some dim recognition that God was there and God was present, and we needed to begin to speak to him and to be drawn into relationship with him and to know him. And so, as one of the very, very old saints of the church, Evagrius of Pontus, says, he says, one who prays is a theologian. And one who is a theologian prays. And so we bring praise and prayer and worship as the Magi who are stumbling. They don't know the truth of Jesus. They just know that one has been born King of the Jews, and they know they must worship. They know they must worship. May that be our experience too, that we have come to know that we must come and worship him, Jesus Christ, the one true God manifested in front of us. And so we follow their lead, and what happens is that they come out from Herod. It's like the light has gone off. You see, they go in to see Herod, and it comes out and it says, behold, the star which they had saw and seen as it's appearing led them. You know, it's like they've come into the palace and the lights have gone out, and now the light has gone back on again. And there they are, they're following the star, and it comes to its place and it comes to rest. And it says they rejoiced because they knew that they'd come, as it were, to the end of their journey, but also to its beginning. This is always the case. We come to Jesus, but that's the beginning of our journey into the depth and the truth of all things, because knowing him, then we begin this journey into knowing the truth of all things and knowing the truth of ourselves. And there's a lovely picture there. It says, they came into the house. They came into the house. As we come to Jesus, we find our true home. Our humanity finds its home with God in the presence of Jesus. And so they go into the house. And there, this most fundamental truth of all existence is revealed. In the fundamental truth about our existence as well. They go into the house and they beheld the child with his mother. What a beautiful picture that is. And yet, what a universal picture as well. Is this not a picture that is true of every single one of us? There we are. There we were at one time with our mother. Something, of course, that we in our family are very aware of at the moment. The child with its mother. And so there at the very centre of things, the truth of our humanity is revealed. The child with its mother. And it says they beheld the child with its mother. And of course the early church captured this and saw these things, and the early art of the church and the early icons, and continuing to this day, has Mary, the Theotokos, the bearer of God, with the child. And it's an invitation to the depth of our true humanity, that we are to be as Jesus, born of a woman and born of God. Both and. Born of a woman and born of God. Here is this beautiful theological picture, and yet it's no more and no less than the simple truth of our own existence in this universal scene. Well, the Magi have made their journey. They've followed something. They've received a hint and they've paid attention to it. They're like that first theologian of the church, Mary herself. She is paying attention to what's happening around, and she's pondering them in her heart. She's allowing the eye of her heart to be illumined by these things, to see the truth of things in Jesus. And so may we also allow the light of these things to illumine our hearts and minds, that in coming to know God in Jesus, in knowing him as God has manifested his glory in him, we too might come to know more and more of the truth of all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.